The Universal Film Studios logo is shown. British Sky Broadcasting presents Jarhead, starring Jake Gyllenhaal as Swofford, Peter Sarsgaard as Troy, and Jamie Foxx as Sykes. The screenplays by William Broyles Jr. based on the book by Anthony Swofford. The film's directed by Sam Mendes, voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency.
A story. A man fires a rifle for many years, and he goes to war. And afterward, he turns the rifle in at the armory, and he believes he's finished with the rifle. But no matter what else he might do with his hands, love a woman, build a house, change his son's diaper, his hands remember the rifle.
You are no longer black, or brown, or yellow, or red. You are now green. You are light green, or dark green. Do you understand?
Sir, yes, sir!
Swofford.
Sir, yes, sir!
You the maggot whose father served in Vietnam?
Sir, yes, sir!
Outstanding! Did he have the balls to die there?
Sir, no, sir!
Too fucking bad. He ever talk about it?
Sir, only once, sir!
Good. Then he wasn't lying. Are you eyeballing me with those baby blues? Are you?
Sir, no, sir!
Are you in love with me, Swofford?
Sir, no, sir!
Oh, you don't think I look good in my uniform, Swofford?
Sir, the drill instructor looks fabulous in his uniform, sir!
Oh, so you're gay then, and you love me, huh?
Sir, I'm not gay, sir!
Do you have a girlfriend, Swofford?
Sir, yes, sir!
Yes again, motherfucker! Jody's banging her right now! Get on your face and give me 25 for every time she gets fucked this month! Down on your face!
It was shortly after meeting drill instructor Fitch that I realized that joining the Marine Corps might have been a bad decision.
What in the fuck is this?
Sir, it's the recruit drawing of a footlocker, sir!
Jesus, Joseph, and doggy style, Mary! That is a pile of dog shit!
Sir, the recruit's never been good at drawing, sir!
Why the fuck are you my scribe, then? Isn't my scribe supposed to know how to draw?
Sir, the recruit doesn't know! The recruit thought the scribe was supposed to write, sir!
Sir, the recruit doesn't know! The recruit doesn't know because I haven't told him. All right, Comfort Brains. Show me exactly where your skivvies and running shoes go.
Sir, the recruit can't think while the drill instructor is hitting him on his head, sir.
You can't think while I'm giving you a few love taps? How the fuck are you going to fire your rifle when grenades are going off in your face? What the fuck are you even doing here?
Sir, I got lost on the way to college, sir.
Swofford's head is thrust against the blackboard, then he's sitting aboard an army bus with other soldiers.
So now my hands were Dick Skinners. A flashlight was a moonbeam. A pen was an inkstick. My mouth was a cum receptacle. A bed was a rack. A wall was a bulkhead. A shirt was a blouse. A tie was still a tie, and a belt a belt. But many other things would never be the same.
Camp Pendleton, Marine Corps Base, 1989. The bus drives past the entry gate of the base. Swofford stares out of the window at a group of men performing star jumps. Inside the bus, the soldiers wear parade uniform, a green jacket and cap, beige shirt and tie. Swofford holds a photo of a smiling blonde woman in a t-shirt. He gets off the bus and follows the line of recruits, all lugging suit carriers and large holdalls. He passes under a balcony where several soldiers are staring down at the young men. He enters an office and hands an envelope to a soldier of an oriental appearance who's seated at a desk.
Be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Swofford. What kind of fucking name is that?
It's English. My great grandfather came over here late 19th century.
Whatever. I'm putting you in golf company. It's full of retards and fuck-ups. Maybe you can elevate the sons of bitches a little.
The man looks up with a weary expression.
Or maybe not.
He hands him a piece of paper. Swofford turns.
Next.
With a look of trepidation, Swofford enters a long dormitory, at the end of which some soldiers are branding one of their colleagues.
Jarhead. Noun. Slang for marine. Origin. From the resemblance to a jar of the regulation high and tight haircut. The Marine's head, by implication, therefore also a jar. An empty vessel.
He kicks open a locker. All the men have shaven heads. Swofford's in his uniform. The others wear green t-shirts and camouflage trousers.
Hey!
Can I help you?
Yeah, I was assigned to 2nd platoon.
2nd platoon?
Yeah.
The young soldier glances at an African-American Marine who approaches Swofford and starts to take off his jacket.
Scott off, boss!
Nothing much, man.
Welcome to 2nd platoon. Thanks, man. Hey, boys! Fresh fucking meat!
One by one, the group of recruits pile into Swofford. With an angry expression, the newcomer tries to push them off. One of the young men pulls something out of a trunk. Swofford punches one of his assailants in the face. The soldiers eventually push him face down onto a mattress. They pull him off the bed, flip him over, and tape his wrists to the metal frame at the foot of the bed. A soldier with his trouser leg rolled up sticks his foot on Swofford's chest. Swofford looks at a bleeding wound that says USMC on the man's shin. Swofford watches as a blowtorch heats up a metal brand bearing the same initials. As he's held down, one of the soldiers presses a brand against his leg. Swofford passes out. Later, Swofford comes round. He's still attached to the bed. One other Marine is in the room cleaning his rifle. The other soldier looks round as Swofford struggles with his shackles. He pulls one of his hands out and quickly pulls up his trouser leg, but there's no mark.
Yeah, we switched out the hot brand.
Little fuck-fuck trick we're playing the new guys.
The young man gets up.
Nice.
He picks up his jacket.
You want a brand, you gotta earn it.
He turns and heads towards the door. Swofford watches him with a confused look.
Welcome to the suck.
Swofford leans back against the bed, raises his hand to his forehead, and shuts his eyes. Then he's sitting in a toilet cubicle wearing a spotted nightshirt. He's swigging from a blue bottle of Quick Lax laxative. A nurse pushes a tray of food into the cubicle.
Still got that stomach flu, Swofford?
I can't seem to shake it.
That's all right. Not everyone's cut out for the Marines.
But for me, there was nowhere else. That was the truth. After all, I was made in a war. Here's Mr. and Mrs. Swofford on R&R from Vietnam, Honolulu Hilton, 1969. I can't watch. And neither can you. And here are some other things I can't show you. Visiting my sister. Making muffins with Mom.
A man smoking at a table.
Breakfast conversations with Dad. But here's some things you can see. Taking a dump. Thinking about going to college. Studying after school with my girlfriend.
Oh my God, I love you too.
Giving away my favorite USMC t-shirt.
I'll write you every day.
Hey! Swofford looks up in his cubicle.
Swofford?
He peers through the gap in the door.
Swofford?
Yo?
A shaven-headed African-American soldier pushes open the door.
What the fuck? You sick?
Oh, no, I just had a stomach thing, sir.
Staff Sergeant Sykes. I'm with surveillance and target acquisition. Stay. I heard it took 6 guys to pull a little branding trick on you. And your file says that you ain't too fucking dumb either, so you better get unsick most motherfucking rigged tick, because there's a chance that you could be a scout sniper.
Sykes looks down at Swofford's book.
The fuck is this?
He grabs the book.
The Stranger. I came. That's some heavy dope right there, Marie. Mary, however, was on. Yeah, that's when we ran up to the office.
End our class starts on Monday. I suggest you have your ass there.
Is that an order, Staff Sergeant?
Sykes turns and shakes his head.
It's a fucking opportunity. It's a fucking honor. It's the best fucking job in the Marine Corps.
Sounds good, Staff Sergeant. Sounds good, Staff Sergeant.
Sounds good.
Could I have my...
You know what? I got a better idea. You play any instruments?
I played the trumpet in 3rd grade, Staff Sergeant.
Played the trumpet in 3rd grade? Good. You still play?
Yeah, a little small holiday concerts and festivals. And
you ain't gotta be Chuck Mangione. All I need is a bugler. Somebody to play taps, reveille, battle march, that type of shit. Raise the morale. Does that interest you?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Parade field, 0600.
All right, thank you, Staff Sergeant.
My pleasure.
Can I get my book?
Sykes is addressing the recruits on the parade ground.
There's 60 of you. I only need 8. That means 52 of you will perish. Do the math.
There's no possible way that all of you can make it. If you think you're with some shit...
Staff Sergeant Sykes!
Private Swafford reporting for bugle tryout. Hendock. Hut, hut, hut. I don't give out too many special treats, but this morning, we have a very special treat. Private Swafford here is going to play Reveille for us. Okay, Swafford, play Reveille.
Oh, I don't have a bugle.
You don't have what?
I don't have a bugle.
No, 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 no. Damn. You better play it with your mouth.
Sykes takes a few steps away.
What?
I said play it with your goddamn mouth.
Frowning, Swafford faces the lines of recruits, some of whom are smiling slightly.
I love that tone. Sounds good to me. My morale is lifted. You know any Stevie Wonder? You know, you are the sunshine of my life.
Yes, Staff Sergeant.
Good. That's a classic.
Some of the men are smiling more openly now.
Will you shut the fuck up? There is no bugle program, you sizzle dick motherfucker. Who do you think you are, some kind of Kenny G or some shit?
No, Staff Sergeant.
Good. Now to the rest of you, do you have what it takes to be the meanest, the cruelest, the most savage, unforgiving motherfuckers in God's cruel kingdom?
Yes, Staff Sergeant!
To be able to one day say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil because I am the baddest motherfucker in the goddamn valley.
Yes, Staff Sergeant!
We shall fucking see. You still here?
Yes, Staff Sergeant.
Yes, what?
Swafford glares at him.
Yes, I am still here, Staff Sergeant.
So fucking be it. Fall in!
1 mile!
1 mile!
Ain't shit!
Ain't shit!
2 miles!
2 miles!
Your mission is to kill me. My mission is to kill you first. And I'm good.
Them paintball bullets, they hurt?
He gets a paintball in the face.
Oh, shit! Fuck, I can't see!
Back to the grunts, dickface!
In order to engage your target, you must see your target. But your target must not see you. Shevitz.
A soldier emerges from a bush covered in undergrowth.
You laugh, you die. Scratch your nose, you die. You shift your weight to take a piss, you will die. You want to shit, you better shit in your pants.
Still kind of cute, huh, Swaff?
Oh, sir.
This suit will hide you. You will become a tree, a rock. You are mud, sand, and dust.
Still funny?
No, sir.
In order to fire accurately, you must be able to judge distance and wind direction.
How far are those trees?
500 yards.
No. 600.
300.
300. How'd you figure that?
Three football fields.
Three football fields. That's right. You take what you know, and then you multiply. Please don't use your dicks. They're too small, and I can't count that high. I don't hear 400,000 inches. Now, wind. You use what you have. Use a flag. Use a plume of smoke, a little bit of dust. Spit on your finger and hold that bitch up. These are formulas that you can use, but in the end, you have to trust your gut. Details, gentlemen, details are going to be the difference between you killing your target and your target killing you. We've all been taught that thou shalt not kill. But hear this, fuck that shit.
Now consider your target.
They're at an outdoor rifle range.
If you are lucky, in that window will one day emerge the figure of the enemy, JFK shot. Pink mist.
Fire. 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 Hit.
Swafford cocks his rifle and looks into the viewfinder.
Fire. Fire. Fire.
The sounds that you are hearing are live rounds. You will get the fear out of you. Keep moving. If you pick your head up, you will get fucked up. Find out if we have a bitch in you. You guys crawl like old people fuck.
They're crawling under barbed wire.
Move. Get the fear out of you. Keep moving. Do not
fuck
up. Keep moving.
I can't.
Keep your head up.
Come on, man.
Keep it
moving. Just fucking move.
Come on.
No.
Keep moving. Do not fuck up.
What are you doing? What are you
fucking
doing?
Keep moving.
Come on.
I can't. Keep moving.
Don't
fuck up.
The soldier gets up.
Ceasefire.
Ceasefire.
Corman.
Sykes marches over to the soldier who's now slumped over the barbed wire.
Shit!
Swafford, lying on his stomach, watches in shock.
Shit.
Sykes stares down at the body.
I told you to keep your fucking head down! If you listen to me, you will still be fucking alive right now, stupid fuck!
One of the young men looks on and pants. The recruits remain motionless on their stomachs in the mud in four columns under the barbed wire. Then, in an army classroom...
God help you. You're now scout snipers. I know you've heard this, but I'm going to tell it to you again. Snipers do not work alone. You work as a team.
He goes along the row.
Spotter. Shooter. Spotter. Shooter. Spotter. Shooter. Spotter. Shooter. You may now open your case, pull out your M40A1 rifles.
Swofford and another shaven-headed recruit lift out the rifle.
Once you've done that, you will repeat after me. This is my rifle.
This is my rifle.
There were many like it, but this one is mine.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Without my rifle, I am nothing.
Without my rifle, I am nothing.
Without me, my rifle is nothing.
Without me, my rifle is nothing.
The grunt dies for 15,000 poorly placed rounds.
Fucking right.
The sniper dies for that one perfect shot.
Back on the rifle range.
Hit. Fire. Fire. Fire.
I was hooked.
Hit. Fire. 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 Hit.
Swofford stares into the viewfinder.
Fire. 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 Hit.
I wanted the pink mist.
A TV shows CBS News with Dan Rather.
Good evening. Iraq invaded and took over its tiny neighbor Kuwait today. That set off worldwide protest and drew sanctions from the United States, Great Britain, and the Soviet Union. The government of dictator Saddam Hussein claimed it went in at the invitation of revolutionaries who had overthrown the Kuwaiti government.
We have appealed to all our friends around the world, including the United States, to come to our aid and assistance.
Swofford's sniper partner Troy stands in front of the room of seated recruits with a solemn expression.
We're going to fucking war.
Swofford watches with an intense half-smile. Then the young soldiers are watching Apocalypse Now on a cinema screen at the point where a group of helicopters are flying over the sea. Swofford is singing along. Some of the recruits are standing and punching the air as the helicopters fly in on the screen. The screen shows a little Vietnamese village. Children are scurrying for safety within it. In the movie, the helicopters fly in low over the water. The natives run for cover over a little wooden bridge. Swofford is discussing something with Troy as they watch the film. Swofford puts his hands to his face as if in rhapsody at what he's seeing. He watches in awe as the helicopters approach the village. A missile is released from one of the choppers. The bombs rain down on the village. The soldiers in the audience are in a state of exultation. More of them are now standing, punching the air. Swofford sits down grinning. Then the lights come on.
Now hear this. Now hear this. All personnel from 2-7 are to report immediately to your company area. Get some Marines! Get some!
Then the soldiers are sitting in a standard commercial airliner. Stewardesses in red uniforms are moving along the aisles. Sykes is sitting at the end of a row reading the Bible. He looks up for a moment.
Me, I had a choice. Either join the Marines or go to jail. And you know what the shit of it is?
If you're going to jail, you'd
don't spoil the joke, asshole. If I'd have went to jail, I'd be getting out today.
A stewardess approaches.
Would you like some nuts?
Nuts?
Yes, are they warm nuts?
No, I believe the room temperature.
Well, maybe later you can come and warm up my nuts.
You know, I don't really like the little ones. Okay. Is that
right? Yeah.
Would you like some nuts?
You poor bastard. I bet your recruiter promised you a whole wide world of pussy, huh?
You fucking ate.
Cocksucker need a price of every whore from Langapo to Stockholm.
And here we are, headed to the desert, no pussy in 1,000 miles.
Fucked by the green weenie again.
Swofford thinks to himself.
Hey, what would you be doing if you were a civilian? Staying up late, jacking off, playing Metroid, trying to get to that 9th level?
You know what happens when you get there.
Swofford and the other soldier look at Troy.
Nothing. Just start all over again.
How long do you think we'll be there? 2 weeks?
Less, man. We'll be back so fast, we'll still be shitting out those nuts.
Good luck now. Goodbye now. Good luck now. Goodbye now.
You want to keep me company for 2 weeks?
Goodbye now.
You don't know what
Thank
you're missing,
you.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn!
Swofford and the other soldiers head down the steps into the bright sunlight. Out on the tarmac in front of them, hundreds of troops are amassing, being shepherded into rows by soldiers such as Sykes, who is waving his arms and barking orders. Swofford and his colleagues jog down the last few steps, and with their rifles slung over their shoulders, they fall into line. Sykes continues reprimanding them, looking at his watch. Time in the desert, 14 minutes. Troops in the desert, 5,000. Sykes leads his men forward across the tarmac. The troops form vast columns heading towards a large white marquee. Inside, many young soldiers are sitting on the ground dressed in their light beige uniforms. They're chatting casually amongst themselves.
Attention on deck!
They get up. An older soldier with a cold expression approaches a microphone.
Take your seats.
The man flicks out his microphone lead.
Good afternoon, Marines.
Jesus,
did you just land in a war zone or a funeral parlor? Good afternoon, Marines!
Good afternoon, sir!
Ooh, I just felt my dick move. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Kaczynski, your battalion commander. We are now part of Operation Desert Shield. Just north of us, Saddam Hussein's got 1 million Iraqi soldiers. And some of those boys have been fighting since you were 9 or 10 years old. They are tough. They will stop at nothing. They've used nerve gas against the Iranians and the Kurds. Now here's a picture.
At the side of the podium, another soldier holds up an enlarged photo of a young boy with a badly burned face.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, let's kick ass and take names and end this shit the day before yesterday. But the bureaucrats have a lot of jawboning to do. So for now, these Iraqis who have raped and pillaged poor little Kuwait are not yet in our gun sights. Our current mission is to protect the oil fields of our good friends in the Kingdom of Saud until further notice. And gentlemen, I'm talking a lot of oil. A lot of oil. So you will hydrate, you will train, you will adjust to this desert, and you'll hydrate some more. And you will be ready. You will maintain a constant state of suspicious alertness, and one day soon, Saddam Hussein is going to regret pulling this sorry shit.
Hoorah! We're going to kick some Iraqi ass!
What did you say?
We're going to kick some Iraqi ass, sir!
Oh, hell, son. Well, you're going to win the Medal of Honor all by yourself. What's the rest of my battalion going to do?
Kick some Iraqi ass!
You know, I think it's time for me to retire. I can't hear a fucking thing! Oh, boys, I just got a heart on.
Then a line of army trucks appear on the horizon. There's nothing else in the landscape but empty desert. In the back of the open-top trucks, the soldiers sit facing each other. They wear beige helmets on their head. Swofford is standing aboard one of the vehicles next to Fowler, the exuberant Marine from the previous scene.
Get out of this shithole soon! I need to shoot some!
Hey, you're gonna get all you want soon enough. First to fucking fight!
Yeah. For what? I've been around these old white fuckers all my life. They got their fat hands and arrow bowl. Motherfuckers drink it like it's beer. That's why we're here to protect their profits.
You're full of shit! He's full of shit!
Who do you think gave Saddam all his fucking weapons?
We did!
Fuck politics, alright? We're here. All the rest is bullshit.
Yeah.
The vast, relentless desert stretches out far into the distance as the vehicles speed along. Then earth-moving vehicles are creating huge banks of sand at the edge of the desert army camp. A number of green tents have already been erected. Inside one, Swofford's platoon are unpacking their things. One young man is reading a prayer card. He blesses himself and puts some prayer beads onto a little box. Another soldier is hanging a wooden cross above his bed. Swofford carries a book. Troy is cleaning his rifle.
Everyone else is unpacking, man.
Taking a break.
The book holds some photos of a young woman.
What you got?
Photos?
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's hot. Yours? Yes, man. You better shoot yourself in the foot and get her taken home, because
Jody's are gonna be all over her! Oh. Look at her! Oh. They won't leave her alone!
That's nice for a white chick, man.
Nice, come on. I drink a gallon of her pee just to see where it came from.
This is hardcore right here. This is close to porn. Let me see that one. Baby fist down here.
All right. Dream on, brothers. Dream on.
I'm storing that for later, man. I'm storing it later.
Hey, y'all horny fucks want to see a beautiful woman?
Yes!
Here we go.
Give it up!
Check this out.
Yeah, boy!
Give it up.
No, 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 no. Oh, no! Please don't love me!
Now, tell him how many tortillas she had before that picture.
Hey, she's pregnant, man! That's why she's so beautiful, man. This is what it's all about right here, man. Yo, hey, man. Fuck you, guys.
Married guys. Married guys, Luke Brain says by the business.
Okay. If the Corps wanted you to have a wife, they would have issued you one.
Yeah! They would have issued you one. Yeah!
No family photos, Swofford?
A nerdy soldier in glasses approaches.
Hey, can I see your pictures?
Yeah, sure, man. Thanks. Fergus, right?
Yeah.
The girl wears a t-shirt in one photo and some pants in the other.
She have her own clothes?
Sykes storms in.
Well, ain't this cozy as fuck? You guys getting settled in?
Yes, Sergeant!
Well, if you're not too busy, gas! Right there!
Troy's in his gas mask.
Luke, come over to the dark side, Luke.
55 seconds. You're all dead. And since you're all dead, I guess you wouldn't mind taking a little run in these suits. Let's go!
Then the group of young soldiers are jogging along one behind the other in the desert, each wearing their gas masks and holding up their rifles. Sykes runs alongside them.
Swofford, if you don't pick it up, I'm gonna shoot you in your fucking foot! Move it!
The price of crude oil has nearly doubled. President Bush sends in more troops. Us, six times a day, we gather for formation.
Break it down, all of them.
And we hydrate.
Now hold them up.
The soldiers hold up empty little plastic bottles.
We patrol the empty desert.
Get down!
And we dehydrate.
They stand in a line on top of the bank, peeing down into the desert. Swofford sighs with relief.
We throw hand grenades into nowhere. We navigate imaginary minefields.
Then they're lying on the ground firing their rifles.
We fire at nothing. And we hydrate some more.
We'll hydrate till I get full. There you go, hold it down. Now hold them up.
They hold up their bottles. Two of the soldiers are silhouetted against the pink evening sky, sitting on the bank holding their rifles.
And we look north, towards the border. And we wait for them. This is our labor. We wait.
I got one! A white!
Master Race!
Ho! Ho! Check her out.
Ho!
It's beautiful! Jungle's reign of terror's over! Over!
Two scorpions. They're placed onto a wooden box next to a tent where the Marines stand over them and watch their fight. There's a small white one and a larger black one. Another soldier rushes up to join the group.
Come on!
The black scorpion stabs the white one with its tail. The white scorpion lies dead. Escobar picks up the black scorpion by the tail and returns it to a little box. Some money changes hands. Escobar punches the air victoriously. Fowler picks up the dead one and puts it into another box. He stares down at the vanquished creature.
Fucking asshole.
Swofford, bare-chested, walks past some of the tents in the camp. Then, darkness. The sun rises up over the horizon. Time in the desert. 62 days, 19 hours, 16 minutes. Troops in the desert. 115,000.
Suggested techniques for the Marine to use in the avoidance of boredom and loneliness. Masturbation. Rereading of letters from unfaithful wives and girlfriends. Cleaning your rifle. Further masturbation. Rewiring Walkman. Arguing about religion and meaning of life. Discussing in detail every woman the Marine has ever fucked. Debating differences, such as Cuban versus Mexican, Harleys versus Hondas, left versus right-handed masturbation. Further cleaning of rifle. Studying a Filipino mail order bride catalog. Further masturbation. Planning of Marine's first meal on return home. Imagining what the Marine's girlfriend and her man Jody are doing in the hay. Or in the alley. Or in a hotel bed.
Swofford is staring at a notice board covered in photos of young women entitled Wall of Shame.
Is she up there yet?
What?
Get the fuck off. Don't worry, man. She will be. She'll be right there. She's gonna look beautiful up there.
Framing one photo is written, I loved her so much, she took my kid and disappeared. Then in a makeshift canteen.
I wonder what she's doing right now.
No way to know.
Troy carries his plastic plate and cup and deposits them in a bag at the end of a tall wooden bench which Swofford is standing eating at. Then outside.
Now here are the rules. When you talk to these reporters, you do not get specific. You tell them that there's no better shooters in the world than Marine snipers. Tell them that you're happy to be here. You're proud of the mission. All right, and you can't wait to mess the fuck out of these Iraqis. Anything other than that comes out of your mouth, I get fucked up. And if I get fucked up, I'm gonna fuck you up. Take your shirts off. Show your muscles. You've been working out.
This is censorship.
This is what?
Censorship. You telling us what we can and can't say to the press. That's un-American.
Yeah, what about freedom of speech, the Constitution?
No, you signed the contract. You don't have any rights. You got any complaints? You complain to Saddam Hussein and you see if he gives a fuck.
Well, that's exactly what Saddam Hussein does. You're treating us the same way.
You are a Marine. There's no such thing as speech that is free. You must pay for everything that you say.
We're rolling, sound speed.
You're a Marine here in Saudi Arabia. Are you glad to be here?
Swofford scratches his head.
Oh, yes, ma'am, I'm glad to be here. My uncle and my father served in Vietnam, so I'm proud to serve my country here. I have supreme confidence in all my leaders, you know, from my team leader to my president. I'm very proud to serve my country, yeah.
So who's waiting for you back home?
Then Fowler speaks.
Can I give a message to my brother?
Sure.
Tim, hey, he's gonna get this?
Mm-hmm.
Tim, what's up? I got your letter, man, and you are a maniac. Ah, you're crazy. He'll understand.
You're a Marine here in Saudi Arabia. How do you hope the Kuwaitis will greet you?
Kruger, the Marine who had the censorship issues, looks around tight-lipped.
How do you feel about the Iraqis? They're the enemy. Do you have nightmares about them? How do you,
Then Corporal Alan Troy.
I love it out here. This is what I want. Because I count for something. Back home, I'd be working some nowhere job. Nobody even know I was alive. We burn the fat off our souls. Hemingway, he said that.
Who's waiting for you back home?
Swofford stares at the ground.
well, you know, I have a girlfriend. waiting for me.
Anything you'd like to say to her?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Hi, Christina. Here we are.
He turns awkwardly and points at the tarpaulin, which is the makeshift backdrop.
Are you scared?
Fergus speaks.
Yes, ma'am. Very happy to be here. I love my country. I miss my parents. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. They treat me all right here.
It was an opportunity for me to defend America, the country which has given freedom to me and to my family. And it is an honor to fight for that freedom.
To defend my country and to serve my country and to learn skills to eventually go into law enforcement.
Are you scared?
Back to Swofford.
Look, I'm 20 years old and I was dumb enough to sign a contract. I can hear their fucking bombs already. I can hear their bombs. And I'm fucking scared, yeah. Don't tell my staff sergeant though, alright?
So in case of a chemical attack, what provisions do men have for that?
This is what we call the NBC suits. That's nuclear, biological, chemical protective suits. Mm. We also have a mask. It's the M17A1 mask, which is fitted with a drinking tube, so these guys can drink from the canteens without taking off their mask.
Oh, really?
You want to try it?
No, thanks, but can I hold it?
Yeah, sure.
Swofford and Kruger are throwing an American football near to the TV crew.
They fight with all
the time? Yes, they do. They fight with it, and as a matter of fact, let me give you a small demonstration of it.
Sykes approaches them.
Kruger, get rid of the ball.
Huh?
Get rid of the ball.
Oh.
Get rid of the fucking ball.
Ball.
Fuck.
Give me the ball. All right, listen up, guys. Today is your lucky day. These reporters want to see how your NBC suits work. All right, so we're going to continue this little football game in full chemical gear. That's right. Come on, let's go.
It's 112 degrees.
Then I guess you won't be needing your parkas, will you? Let's play.
The men now wear full camouflage suits and grey gas masks.
I'm gonna hurt you, Sloth! I'm gonna hurt you so bad! Do you like pain?
The game starts.
Swap! Where's the fucking ball? Swap, what is that? Swap, but I guess you call that using your head, huh?
Using his head.
The improvised football game continues. The soldier with the ball is upended, then held back as he lurches for his aggressor. There's more boisterous play from the gas mask-clad soldiers. One runs with the ball and leaps flamboyantly into the air for a touchdown. He does a wiggly-legged victory dance. There's another play, and the ball is thrown long. Cortez catches the ball and runs off, pursued by two other players. He does a skip and a forward roll. Cortez collapses in a heap.
Who got me?
No, I want him.
You want the Mexican leprechaun? Go ahead, take him.
Yeah, I'll take the fucking midget.
On the midget?
Mm-hmm.
Let's call you squishy face, retard.
Don't you ever call me a squishy face.
Squishy face?
Go, baby, squishy face! Let's go, squishy face!
Motherfucker!
Fowler leaps at Cortez, and the two start fighting.
Bring the water. We're going to further this demonstration.
Man, these M17A1 drinking tubes are designed to work perfectly with your canteen and your mask.
Take the narrow part of the tube with your fingers extended and joined and place it into the appropriate receptacle on the canteen lid.
The lid on my canteen's fucked.
Watch your mouth. I got another one for you right there.
The hydration tube is busted, Staff Sergeant. We're going to die of dehydration.
No, we're not going to die. It's cool.
Staff Sergeant? My drinking tube fell off in the gas chamber, Pendleton. It's been 4 months. I still
understand
have
that. And I want everybody to understand this.
Fucking bingo!
And I want you to play fucking ball!
Oh, that's a big bingo!
The men rush over to the soldier who's received the ball. They all pile on top of him. Kruger clambers from the bottom of the huddle holding a ball, then jumps onto them.
Kruger of Arabia! Arabia! You fuck!
Sykes looks round.
Shit. Stop it!
one of the exercises that we run here when we're in the field.
Some of the soldiers have removed their tops. They take turns simulating sexual acts. Sykes shepherds the TV crew into a truck.
The armory. Why don't we have a look at that?
The antics are getting more frantic. Kruger points and laughs as the trucks move away. The troops wave after them as they leave. Nighttime, pouring rain. Sykes is sitting under a little canopy, sipping from a cup. His men are standing at various points up a pyramid of sandbags, passing bags up to the top.
I don't hear you laughing now. I can't hear you. Oh, that's better. Sounds jovial.
The men stand to attention on the pyramid.
Last Corporal Swapper.
Yes, yes, Sergeant.
On top of the world, huh?
Yes, yes, Sergeant.
Well, I have more important things to do, like play with my balls. But guess what? You guys are scheduled for a little 2-day vacation back in the rear, so I suggest you get your shit together. You can start by taking all that down. Yeah, whatever.
Swofford grimaces as he starts to fling down the bags. Sykes walks away through the rain. Then, in the troops' dormitory tent...
Come on, Swof, pack up.
Your mommy again, Fergie. What are you listening to?
My mom's Christmas tape.
You're a retard.
Fergus, you and your mom got Firewatch tonight. 22 out of 10.
Oh, man, that's 2 straight weeks. Why does it have to be me?
Because you're so boot.
You are boot.
Oh, yeah.
That's the third fucking time, man.
What's that?
I just wanted to say no preference. Is that so fucking hard?
What difference does it make? God knows you're no preference.
At least they got the blood type right. I mean, which would you rather get? The wrong prayer or the wrong blood?
One lonely pink letter from Sacramento. Christina.
I wonder what she's up to. Now I do. Go jerk off outside.
Swofford sits in a little porch outside the tent and reads the letter.
Man, I have a son. Mama? I got a fucking son, man. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
Swofford trudges back into the tent.
I'll put my little boy up.
Oh, doesn't look good.
Swofford looks round and shakes his head.
Christina has a new friend, right?
She got a new friend.
He's a night manager at her hotel, and she says he's a good listener.
Oh, man, this is getting worse.
Oh, I told you. She's one of those girls with a military fetish.
Yep. And she's getting off when she tells the Jody that her boyfriend's a jarhead.
Yeah. I can see it now. She works in the hotel. She goes into the vacant room, right? Grabs onto the pole and goes, Jody!
It's 6'4".
Hey. Go pull the legs off a spider.
Okay, Corporal.
Hey, Swof, that's right. Cheer up, man. We're heading back to the rear. We'll get some AC, shit in the flush toilet. We can use your phone.
I'm gonna call it.
You fucking A.
Even if she is fucking someone else.
Then there's a row of shower cubicles. Fowler is squirting the others with shampoo.
Hey, look, it's a cock, but smaller.
As the banter continues behind him, Swofford stands in his cubicle, rubbing his shaven head slowly. He looks upwards as the water runs down his face. He stares at the showerhead, which emits a fine spray of steamy water. Then he's sitting in a toilet cubicle holding up a photo of his girlfriend. He appears to be masturbating. He bangs his head against the side of the cubicle.
Fuck!
He punches the cubicle wall and screws up the photo. Then he's standing in the middle of a line of soldiers who are all talking on a row of phones along the wall.
Hello?
Chris.
It's Miss.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh my God, Tony. How are you? I'm good. Missing you.
I'm all right. I'm missing you too.
I saw your mom. We went to visit your sister.
How is she?
Your mom?
No, Renee.
Oh, she's doing better. She's doing really good.
So this guy.
Did you get the pictures?
Oh yeah, I got them. They're great. They're great.
Did you see the one of you and me?
The guy at the hotel.
Who?
How well do you know Chris?
Who, Carl? I mean, he's just a friend.
How well do you know
him? Tony, he's just a friend.
Swofford strokes the back of his head and stares into space.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
Chris?
Tony?
I'm here.
Tony?
Chris? Chris?
He looks at the phone and slams the receiver against it. Nighttime, Swofford's lying in his bed staring upwards. He gets up and walks slowly between rows of beds in the army dormitory. Crescent-shaped beams dominate the long room. The only movement is from the lines of ceiling fans spinning slowly above the beds. Swofford, dressed just in his boxer shorts, walks into a washroom area. He moves through the shadows past a line of sinks to the end one, which he stands in front of and stares into the mirror with a serious expression. He dips his head down into the sink. When he lifts his head back up, his girlfriend is now looking at him in the reflection in the mirror. She wears a white t-shirt and smiles very slightly. Swofford takes a few breaths, gags, then vomits a column of sand into the sink. The sand starts to rise in a mound within the sink as it pours in. Daytime, Swofford, dressed in a green t-shirt and combat, sits up quickly in his bed. He looks round. Troy is standing on the head of the next bed along.
You're making some pretty weird sounds, man.
Swofford looks away, holding his throat with an expression of shock. Troy gets down off his bed.
Detman's wife sent him deer hunter. Go watch.
In another room, a young Marine is standing in front of a TV and video recorder.
Shut up, Fowler, you fucking shitbird. Shut the fuck up.
Shut up. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Get your boot off my fucking chair, you fucking motherfucker, Swoff.
But the opening titles are soon replaced by footage of a woman on all fours having sex with a kneeling man from behind. Detman's face drops as he watches.
That's my wife.
That's my fucking wife. That's my wife. That's Clancy. That's my fucking neighbor. I lent him my fucking car. That's my wife.
He kicks a chair.
That's my fucking wife! You fucking bitch! No, you slut! No! Fuck!
The soldiers clear a route between the chairs.
Fuck! I wanna go home! I wanna go home!
Kruger and Cortez exchange glances. The wife's face appears on the screen.
Who's fucking around now, Brian?
She raises a middle finger. Most of the soldiers are now standing watching Detman leave the room. Swofford turns with a look of delight.
Fucking faggot, man. Let's watch it again.
Yeah! Fowler stands in front of the VCR. Kruger pushes a button. Some of the other Marines have eagerly taken their seats. Troy's at the tape player.
That's enough! That's enough!
No, 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 no!
That's his fucking wife!
They start to disperse. But Swofford remains seated with his hands clasped together behind his head. Troy, standing in front of him, looks down.
What are you doing?
Swofford looks round, then shakes his head slightly.
I'm waiting for you to leave so I can watch it again. Why do you want to watch it again?
I want to watch it again.
Why?
Swofford shakes his head again.
I want to see what it's like to watch somebody else fuck your girlfriend.
He shrugs and looks up at Troy. Troy stares down at him somberly and breathes out heavily.
Come on. Get your shit. Come on. We're going back.
Swofford grabs his jacket and gets up. Then a line of army trucks are speeding along the sandy ground. Time in the desert, 122 days, 5 hours, 22 minutes.
For most problems, the Marine is issued a solution. If ill, go to sickbay. If wounded, call corpsman. If dead, report to Graves Registration. If losing his mind, however, no standard solution exists. No standard solution exists.
What's up, buddy? Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Here, you got some good shit.
Fly rumor on winged feet. Here. Read this.
What is it?
It's a love letter for the Major. I read all of his letters.
Dear sweet Gloria, I wish I was upping you now with a finger in your ass. Love you, Captain Skinboat.
I studied classics at Dartmouth.
It's a good school.
$40, 5 gallons.
Dusk. Swofford is strolling through the camp carrying a black plastic fuel carrier. Fergus is sitting nearby.
Hey, Swa.
So,
which way do I mount this? What does it say? Front toward enemy?
Oh, yeah.
Gotta be a clue.
Thanks.
Sorry.
Hey, Fergus, you take my watch tonight? I'll pay you back.
Not again. It's Christmas Eve.
I'll send you out a fucking tree.
Oh, great. A tree. Merry Christmas.
I take it frame by frame it. The happy long jump is always saving. Always for other peers, for people scratching simple. The last beat, well, that's not that simple. You know what I'll do.
In the platoon dorm tent, the Christmas party is in full swing. Swofford runs around dressed only in a Santa hat and a novelty Christmas jock strap. He stands in the middle of his colleagues and gyrates his bare bottom. They stand around in a circle, rapping to the song. Cortez dances into the middle and performs a breakdance, spinning around on his head in the sand. Outside, the camp is almost deserted. Fergus has set up a small gas stove out of the back of a truck. He's cooking sausages in a little frying pan. He moves away from the burner, sits, and pours the contents of a plastic cup into a metal one, which he sips from. He's well wrapped up in a scarf and woolly hat. He's listening to music on some headphones. Back in the tent, Swofford is having clear liquid from the plastic carrier poured into his open mouth. Fowler's wearing a sign that says Merry Fucking Christmas. The plastic carrier is passed around and the soldiers drink copious amounts of its liquid, some from plastic cups, others poured straight into their mouths. The atmosphere is getting more raucous. Outside in the moonlight, Fergus is looking up at the sky. His long johns hanging in the back of the truck have caught a light from the flames of the little stove. Fergus looks round.
Shit.
He hastily pats the burning clothing, but to no great effect. As he fumbles with the pan, he knocks over a fuel canister. The soldiers are jumping around inside the tent. More of the area around the stove is now alight. Fergus furiously tries to pat down the flames. He looks up at the boxes stacked in the truck. The partying soldiers drop to the ground. They grab their rifles and hurry outside. As if in a spontaneous firework display, rockets are lighting up the night sky, whizzing out from the back of the burning truck. More of the camp's occupants come out of their tents and look upwards, some pointing their guns into the sky.
What the fuck is that?
Bright white flares drop slowly out of the sky, attached to little parachutes, leaving long smoke trails behind them.
Sorry, guys. Really sorry. Those are my sausages.
Swofford raises his eyes to the heavens in exasperation. He sighs. Daytime, in a large empty space in the middle of the camp, there's a little desk which a soldier sits at drinking water.
Fuckers fuck now.
It's Swofford. Bare-chested and still in his Christmas hat, he's drinking from a large bottle of water. He retches, Sykes approaches and sits in front of him. With a pained expression, Swofford continues drinking.
So do you have all of that unauthorized beverage out of your system?
Swofford looks up woozily and gives a thumbs up.
Whose watch was that, Swofford?
Again, Swofford raises his thumbs.
But since you don't know how to handle responsibility, we are demoting you. You are now a private.
Swofford's face registers shock.
You think you're the only one that's bored around here? Because when this war begins, and it will begin, I don't want you covering my ass.
Some spit dribbles off Swofford's chin.
So guess what's next?
Swofford throws up his hands.
Instructions for the effective burning of shitters. The Marine will need the following. 1 metal fence post, 1 pair of welder's gloves, 5 gallons of diesel fuel, and 1 box of matches.
Hold it right there, Marine.
Swofford's dragging a large vat of excrement.
So you are the fucking idiot who tried to burn down my camp.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Stick that back in there.
It's already full of diesel fuel, sir.
The soldier stops next to Swofford.
I don't care if it's full of Chanel number 5. I'm not going to the other side of this camp for my morning glory. Stick that fucker back in there.
The officer steps into a makeshift toilet cubicle. Swofford lifts a wooden flap in the side of the structure and pushes the vat into an alcove within it.
I'm waiting.
Then Swofford's sitting on a plastic container next to the cubicle.
Left you a little gift in there. Not too hard, not too soft. Perfect.
Thank you, sir.
Happy holidays, Private.
Wearing dark gloves, Swofford drops a burning piece of paper into one of the vats. Its contents catch a light. Swofford picks up a long pole and slowly stirs the burning liquid with an expression of gloomy resignation. His face and chest have a light layer of soot on them. He's still wearing his Santa hat. He stares into space grimly. Then he and Fergus are putting their rifles together in their tent.
Done.
Fergus is still to finish the routine. He cocks the rifle.
Done. Again.
They tap the barrels of their guns and start to disassemble them. Swofford stares coldly at Fergus.
Again.
They reassemble the guns.
Done. How many is that, Cortez?
26 in a row.
What would you say if I told you I was gonna kill you for fucking me over like that?
I already told you it was an accident.
An accident. Right. Like when this trigger slips. Of course, you're a nice little mom and dad, and where?
Cottonwood Falls.
Cottonwood Falls. They'll be sad. They won't have a little boy to send fucking cookies to. And I'll say it was an accidental discharge. I might even spend some time in the brig, but I'll end this fucking waiting.
He picks up a bullet magazine.
And I'll know what it's like to kill a man.
He aims the gun at Fergus's head.
What are you doing?
I'm in the firing position known as a sitting position. After the prone position, it's the platform most likely to enable a Marine to effectively kill his target. His target being a human, generally an enemy, but sometimes a friend or a friendly. We call this friendly fire, friendly fucking, or getting friendly fucked.
Come on, Swoff, it was your watch. It was Christmas Eve, and I was just sitting there thinking about home. That's it.
What do you think, Cortez? You think I'll accidentally kill your homeboy from boot camp?
Sure you'll kill him. Accidents happen.
You don't see shit, right?
No, I don't see shit. It's not even my tent. As a matter of fact, I ain't even here, Swofford.
Cortez leaves the tent. Swofford gets up. He now has the barrel of the gun pressed into Fergus's cheek.
Doing it.
M16 A2 service rifle is a lightweight, air-cooled, gas-operated, magazine-fed shoulder weapon. It fires a 5.56mm ball projectile, muzzle velocity 2,800 feet per second. This is my rifle. Repeat after me. Repeat after me!
This is my rifle.
There you go. That's right. Say the fucking words!
There are many like it. But this one is mine.
Without my rifle, I am nothing! Say it, you fucking idiot!
No!
This is my rifle! There are many like it, but this one is mine!
Without my rifle, I am nothing. No.
This is my rifle.
Shut the fuck up. I can't. Shut the fuck up and repeat after me.
Without me, I'm...
This is my rifle. There are many like it. Without me, my rifle is nothing. Fucking me. Say it. Repeat after me. Without my rifle, I am nothing.
I am nothing.
Shut the fuck up. Get up.
Swofford throws down the gun and looks around wildly.
Fuck.
Fergus sits down, grimacing. Swofford stands in the middle of the tent, panting. Fergus starts to cry. Holding his head in his hands, Swofford slumps down on the edge of the bed. Then out in the desert, a group of six Marines in desert combat uniform are trudging along in the distance. Swofford is at the head of the group carrying a backpack. Troy, wearing a beige hat, strides up to him.
So you had a round in the chamber? And you were locked and loaded? I messed up, man. Look at him, he's fucking shaking.
Troy stops and holds up his hand.
Fergus, get up here.
I messed up, man.
Okay.
Fergus, with his rifle across his chest, walks up to them.
Look at him.
Swofford is looking away. Troy leaps up at him.
Hey, you fucking do that again and I will shoot you myself. All right? Well?
Swofford thinks for a moment. Then he slowly turns round to face Fergus. He shrugs as if he's fighting to keep his emotions together. Troy nods. Swofford turns.
What was that?
Oh, it might be an echo.
They all look into the distance.
No, it's not. I hear it too.
Call it in, see if they're friendlies in the area.
Lima to Charlie. This fucking shit is fucked, man.
Army has satellites and we have this fucking shit.
Better off sending smoke signals, man.
All right, guys, spread it out.
The six Marines continue walking slowly along the vast desert plain. Swofford, still at the head of the group, peers into the distance. Dark shapes appear on the horizon.
Troy. Who are they, man?
I don't know.
The figures are heading towards them.
They got RPGs under their robes, man.
They got anthrax in there. Fucking no.
The newcomers are leading camels. Escobar says, "Not with your left hand, Conyo." Cortez replies, "What the fuck are you talking about? They wipe their ass with their left hands. It's an insult." Cortez raises his right hand. Swofford is practicing saying something. Troy lifts his hand and turns to his men.
Form a line!
The Marines do so and hold their guns up at the ready.
Okay. What do we do now?
The Arab group has stopped some way off.
Looks like they want to talk.
Yeah, how are you going to do that?
Swofford thinks to himself.
Allah said to you! That's his left hand, shoot him!
Easy.
Hold your fire. Allah said to you! Swofford. What are you doing? Swofford!
Guys, cover him!
Swofford has moved out into the middle ground between the two groups.
Fucking crazy motherfucker.
Two of the Marines are kneeling, with guns raised. An Arabic man in traditional black dress with a white turban approaches Swofford.
What's up, man? What?
What is he doing?
Calm down.
What the fuck is he doing?
Don't fucking touch the rifle! Back up! No fire!
The Arabic man turns slightly and adjusts his black robes. He starts to walk slowly back to his group. Fergus gets up and lowers his rifle as he watches. Swofford starts to head back to the Marines. Pinko, one of the soldiers, lowers his gun too.
What did he say?
Someone shot their camels.
What?
Someone shot their camels, man.
8 men, 5 camels.
The young men watch as the Arabic group head away from them, leading their camels behind them. Then the Marines are in the back of an open truck.
Swaz spoke Arabic. Sound like a duck fucking or something, but he spoke Arabic.
Yeah. Well, at least we finally saw something.
You guys should see what the 40 does to the head of a fucking camel, though.
What does the 40 do to the head of a camel, Fowler?
Turns the head inside out, about 3 fucking knots. Headshot's like a motherfucker, too. It's easy shots, slow. Boom! Oh, shit. Wow! Here they are! My lady love! Show's starting, boys! Hey, teach me some of that Arabic. What's, come suck my dick? Misi kapa fukataka taka ducks fucking!
Fowler licks his fingers suggestively as a car passes, in the back of which is a veiled Arabic woman.
Drop the zero, get with the hero! I like you!
Sit down, Fowler.
That's the one! You saw. She'll never forget me, man.
Funny, man.
That bitch wanted me. Did you see that?
You truly are an asshole.
Oh, come on, man. You just haven't got to kill anything yet. That's your problem, man.
Don't fucking touch me.
You'll get to kill something sometime. Your day will come, man. Your day will come.
Army trucks are moving around the base camp. Swofford's platoon are gathered at the side of one of its roads. Sykes strides towards them.
Listen up! I'm about to read to you what Mr. Saddam Hussein has just said to the Iraqi people. And you better not consider this a bunch of bullshit. The mother of all battles is upon us. The sacrifices the Iraqi people will make are equal to the importance of the victory. Kuwait is the branch that must be returned to the tree. The blood of the infidels will flow like a river. Jihad is the way of all Arab people. We are now Operation Desert Storm, and we're the fucking righteous hammer of God. And that hammer is coming down. It's real now. We're going to the border.
Beige tanks throw up clouds of dust as they roll past. Time in the desert, 175 days, 14 hours, 5 minutes. Troops in the desert, 575,000. Army trucks laden with soldiers stop in front of a huge sandbank. The Marines jump out of the back of the vehicles.
Let's go, let's move it. Let's punch in this clock, we got work to do. Let's go, let's move. Come on. Let's go. Let's move. Listen up. When we cross this berm tomorrow, we expect as many as 30,000 casualties the first day. There will be gas. It will be fucking nasty. These atropine oxime injectors go along with your PV pill packs. In the event that you're attacked by nerve agents such as Samad, these agents will produce casualties immediately if you do not deploy these countermeasures, fucking Ricky Tick.
Why in the fuck have we already taken a set of PV pills and just now be issued the fucking injectors?
Shut the fuck up! I'm sick of
your
shit!
Whoa, whoa, all right, man, calm down. Look, they don't want chemically dead fighters on CNN. Just sign it, Kruger.
What the fuck is this?
It's a waiver. Says these pills aren't proven. It says you won't sue if you get fucked up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, fine. I'll take the fucking pills, and a year later, my asshole will turn inside out and
right,
start
stop,
fucking
stop,
talking
stop,
to me.
Come on, man. Stop, bitch.
Pills ain't worth the shit.
You country motherfucker. In 1987, Saddam Hussein used chemical weapons against the Kurds, and he killed thousands like fucking that. The ones that lived, the kids came out fucked up. 8 toes to 1 foot. No anal openers. Retarded, blind, such fucked up little motherfuckers, they should have just killed them all anyway. You want that? Don't take the pills. You don't want that? Sign the fucking waivers and take the fucking pills.
Kruger signs.
All of you, get your pills in your hand. Get them up. Get them so I can see them.
The Marines each hold a little white pill.
Now take the pill and put it on your tongue.
They each do so.
Swallow the pill. Now let me see your tongue.
They stick out their tongues. Sykes stands in front of Kruger.
Now, doesn't it feel better? Don't we all feel better?
Yes, yes sir, Sergeant!
Good. Now, dig your sleeping holes. Dig your holes with the hands God gave you.
The young Marines are then each standing in a shallow pit, which they're digging out of the sand using black spades with short handles. They all look up to the sky.
Fucking zoomies! They're gonna win the war all by themselves?
They'll be sleeping in their own beds tonight, too.
So what, man? We're scout fucking snipers. When the shit hits the fan, we lead the fucking way! Hoorah!
Sure. Look around. You hear those planes.
This war's gonna move too fast for us.
All right, we can shoot 1,000 yards. To go that far in Vietnam, that'll take a week. World War I, a year. Here, it's gonna take about 10 fucking seconds. By the time we have our rifles dialed, the war's gonna be a mile down the road. Wake up!
Troy goes back to his digging.
Jesus!
Swofford rushes over to him.
What the fuck is going on?
Get out of my sleeping hole.
We're about to go on the ship. You're fucking with their heads.
Get out of my sleeping hole.
Lucky day! Listen up! We got our orders. We leave tomorrow, 0900. Swofford, you gotta sign your wave again. I can't read your fucking handwriting.
Yes, step, sir.
Swofford hurries back across his sleeping pit, picks up his gun, and rushes off after Sykes. Troy stands motionless as the others return to their digging. Behind a truck, Swofford passes his signed paper to Sykes.
Done.
I don't give a fuck, Swofford. I could read it the first time. Your boy Troy got turned down for reenlistment.
What? You're fucking with me.
Hey, watch your mouth. I don't need your fucking attitude.
But that's all he wants is to be in the suck.
I know that. But the suck doesn't want him. He had a criminal record. He lied about it. And he lied about it on his application. So when we get back home, he's out. He's out. The reason I'm telling you is so you can keep him from fucking up. You think you can manage that?
Swofford looks shocked.
Can you manage that?
Sykes looks round with exasperation and trudges off. Swofford stares over at Troy, who's putting on his hat. Swofford rubs his head and looks at the ground. Later, Troy is lying in his pit. Swofford strides along the sand nearby. He deposits his gun into his pit and with a thoughtful look approaches Troy. Troy raises the brim of his hat and he stares up at him.
What?
So you weren't even gonna tell me, huh?
What?
Swofford puts his hands up to his ears. Troy makes a face of disinterest.
Why don't you just shut the fuck up and mind your own business?
Swofford gives him a thumbs up and goes back to digging his pit. Troy watches him and thinks. The air above him is thick with sandy dust. Later, in a tent with the rest of his colleagues, Swofford is holding a white t-shirt.
What the fuck is this, man?
It smells good, man.
She sent it back, man. Sent it back like you send back a ring.
Was she right?
I'll always love you, Christina.
What's the fucking problem, then?
Nothing stays the same, Swaff. Not our girlfriends, not our families, not anyone. Time doesn't stop back in the real world because we're about to go into shit. We Marines. Nobody gives a rat's ass.
No. We're jarheads.
Yeah, the fuck do you know?
I know you're a fucking jarhead. That's all I need to know.
Jar fucking head. Hey, Giant, what's Marine Corps birthday? Marine Corps birthday.
November 10th, 1775, old in the USA.
Fucking A, birthplace.
Tun Tavern, Philadelphia, that's the city of brotherly love.
Hey, power.
Ladies battle World War II.
Dan Daly.
Killed 37 Chinese by hand during the Boxer Rebellion 1900.
Greatest weapon on earth.
The Marine is rifle.
You wanna win your fucking war?
You dance to the Marines.
Troy grapples with Swofford.
Get the brand now. Get it down.
Escobar has a flaming blowtorch which he holds the metal brand in front of. Troy is held down and struggling. The brand is brought down on Troy's exposed shin. Troy makes a face of anguish. Escobar takes a cigar out of his mouth and smells the brand.
You earned it, man.
Troy seems to be on the verge of tears. His expression fluctuates between great joy and pain. Swofford presses his forehead against Troy's in a gesture of camaraderie.
We turned the inside of our tent into a circus. Because inside of our circus, we cannot be injured. Inside of our circus, we cannot be touched. But we are insane to believe this.
The platoon are at the top of the sandbank while the rest of the soldiers retreat into bolt holes, Swofford's kneeling at the top of the ridge. Swofford is standing staring into the distance. There's a large blast nearby. Troy is screaming at him to get down into the dugout. A cloud of dust and tiny debris sprays onto Swofford's face. He shuts his eyes.
My combat action has commenced.
Swofford lifts his head slightly, eyes still closed, as if he's standing in the shower. The dust continues to rain down. Swofford opens his eyes. Troy looks up from the trench.
Are you all right?
Swofford looks down at his trousers, which are wet.
What the fuck, man?
I pissed myself.
We gotta find a fucking FO!
What?
The forward observers, they got us dialed in! We gotta find a fucking... Get out!
Fuck!
Swofford, you get on the binos! You get your binos and you find them! Boy, get on that radio!
Radio's dead!
Go to the comm truck, look up, and get some batteries!
Where is it?
It's over there!
Swofford looks round at the explosions.
Jesus! It ain't getting no closer! Get the fuck on! Fuck!
Carrying his gun, Swofford rushes along the ridge. He scampers down the side of the bank.
Do not fucking die! Do not fucking die! Do not fucking die! Do not fucking die!
He rushes past troops dug into the sand and heads towards a line of army trucks. He flings himself down behind one.
Fucking holes are deep enough!
What are you talking about? The pool's deep!
Need batteries for the 77! Fuck that!
Damn, we're fucking dying!
I need a fucking battery for the 77!
Why are you fucking arguing with me?
Those are dead batteries!
Shut up!
Back in the dugout, Troy is looking through his binoculars. Swofford jumps in next to him.
What took you so long?
Fuck you.
Here are the coordinates. Call that fucker in.
Swofford holds the receiver of the field phone up to his ear.
I just ran to incoming to get a dead fucking battery.
Welcome to the suck.
Fuck! Oh, damn, you're too fucking slow. They already retreat. Sack says we're going after, we're gonna get some!
A beige tank powers across the sand. Military trucks carrying personnel follow in its dusty wake. There are foot soldiers too, trudging alongside the vehicles, past rows of curled barbed wire. Then the platoon are out on the empty flat desert plain. They're spread out as they walk. Swofford looks round vigilantly, as does Troy. Sykes makes a hand gesture indicating them to carry on forward. Five jet fighters fly past in the distance. Fowler looks round at them.
Man, those are A-10s! War dogs, baby! Those things are fucking tank killers. That shit's a fucking monster. Yeah, no shit, Fowler. Off they go into the wide blue yonder. Let's go, Zoomies! About to drop that righteous hand of God!
Fowler, get back in formation.
We're about to drop those bombs!
Fowler, stay in position.
They're gonna drop the hand of God on those
Fowler,
fucking Iraqis!
Stay in your formation!
Yeah!
Two of the planes turn back.
Fowler, get... Are they supposed to come back? Get in formation!
Swofford looks shocked. Fowler starts to head back to the group as the fighters fly in low. A hail of bullets rain down in two lines between the group. A jeep behind them is blown up. Swofford looks round. A burning soldier leaps from the smoking vehicle.
Quebec 4 Delta, this is Echo 5 Charlie. Request medevac priority. Marines down in grid 671584. We'll mark with smoke, over.
Sykes gets to his feet.
Fucking Zoomies must be blind!
Fucking assholes!
You call us Humvees up, we keep moving!
You fucking thought we were Iraqis?!
Keep moving!
Sykes turns and heads off. The soldiers follow him. Fowler and Swofford watch four soldiers helping the burning driver. Swofford faces front and with a slight shake of his head continues forwards.
Keep moving! They can be over this next burn!
The group trudge onwards. One of the Marines at the back turns round, keeping a lookout. Then there are some blackened and burned out cars. One of the soldiers appears on the sandy bank alongside them and gestures down to the platoon to approach. The group head up the other side of the bank. They appear at the top of the dune and look down at the long road in front of them, which is covered in hundreds of burned out vehicles.
Now listen up, let's stay focused. We're headed north. Let's move out. Keep your eyes open.
The group walk very cautiously down the sandbank. Swofford is backing down the slope, checking the rear of the group. They head slowly towards the Deathly Highway, towards the wreckage. They start to move amongst the vehicles. The bonnet of one car is still smoking. Swofford is still at the rear, backing up, looking up towards the sandbank vigilantly. Sykes moves past a burned-out car. He looks round at two of his men and indicates with a gesture to stay vigilant. Kruger looks down at another abandoned car next to a damaged road sign. Troy, in sunglasses, turns and surveys the scene of destruction as he proceeds amongst the debris. Swofford is also looking round watchfully. He steps back onto something, he makes an O shape with his thumb and forefinger and holds it up to the others. Sykes gestures for them to continue onwards. He walks past a charred body on the ground next to him. He looks down and spits. He passes another smashed up car, which another blackened corpse is still sitting in. Fergus looks down at it, shocked. Swofford backs up towards him.
What are you doing?
We're trying to get away.
Fuck you, man. Come on.
Fowler heads cautiously onwards amongst the cars. He glances down at another charred corpse. The bottom part of its leg is lying next to it, blown off. Troy enters a bus and points his rifle into it, but there's only another burned-out woman's body sitting inside. He gets out of the bus, open-mouthed, looking disturbed. Another blackened corpse lies in the sand. Swofford steps round it, staring down at it. He passes a car with a bike on its roof. Then the platoon are sitting at the side of the road, at the foot of the sandbank. They're preparing to eat. Swofford passes Fergus a brown package.
Here. Thanks. Staff Sergeant, I gotta take a shit.
Stay in voice range.
Swofford gets up and puts on his helmet.
Spaghetti marinara.
Swofford walks round into an area on the other side of the bank. The sand is covered in black soot. There are more dead bodies, who appear to have gathered in a small circle. One was sitting on a trunk, but was blown backwards by the force of the explosion. Another is still sitting staring at the ground. Both are blackened and burned to charcoal. Swofford surveys the ghoulish scene. On the ground there's more debris and black lines indicating an explosion directly on this area. Swofford heads slowly into the bomb site. As he does so, his boots disturb the film of soot, so he leaves white sandy footmarks in his wake. He stands in the middle of the circle. Then he sits on a trunk. He looks down thoughtfully. One of the charred corpses is next to him. Then he puts down his gun and vomits onto the ground. He spits and wipes his mouth.
One fucking hell of a day, huh?
He spits again and stares in horror at his charred companion. Then Swofford heads back to the group, who are on their feet, readying themselves to leave. He passes Sykes.
Hey. You alright? What's over there?
Swofford looks blankly at the sergeant. He stares at him.
Holy shit!
What?
Oil wells! They lit up the oil wells!
Troy jumps onto the bonnet of a burned-out car. The others group around him. They all stare out at the horizon where plumes of thick grey smoke are pouring into the sky. Then the Marines are heading past another abandoned car. The burning oil wells are much closer. Swofford's face is freckled with droplets of oil.
It's raining oil! It's raining oil, fellas! Hey, you ever seen that movie, Jack? You seen the movie, Jack? James Dean, man!
My well came in, big.
I'm rich, big! Richer than you!
Stop, shut your trap. That shit's poison. Come on.
The earth is bleeding.
You better get used to it, because we're going to be living in it. Dig those holes, boy.
Nighttime. The burning oil wells are now close by. The air is thick with smoke. The men are covered in black, shiny oil, which is raining down as they dig in the sludgy sand.
Oh, shit. Shit, it's getting my eyes. My eyes is burning. Shit. Oh, fuck. Fuck, it's in my eye. I can't see. Oh, shit, it's burning. It's burning.
Get some water.
Fuck, it's burning.
Don't get out. I just gotta get out of this fucking hole.
Let's go, man. Let's go.
They help each other up and trudge across the black, soupy landscape. Then, elsewhere, with a flaming oil well behind him, Sykes drinks from his flask. His men are digging in the sand behind him. With a concerned expression, he sits down, then looks up.
That's Vietnam music, man. Can't we get our own fucking music?
In the gloom, Swofford goes back to his digging. Troy is looking at something in the distance.
Hey, Chris.
What's the fella doing digging way over there?
He ain't digging.
Swofford looks up.
Fowler, what are you doing? Fowler! What are you digging over there?
Nothing.
Our orders are to dig over here.
Mind your own fucking business.
Yeah, on the other side of the dune, Fowler is covering something up with plastic wrapping. One of the Marines approaches him.
Fowler, H2O.
Fowler stops what he's doing in a guilty manner.
Hey, Ferg, come here. I gotta show you something. This is my new best buddy, man.
Who's under there?
This is my friend.
It's a dead body.
Ta-da.
Jesus Christ, Fowler.
Ahab. The Arab, huh?
Hey.
Oh, Jesus.
Get that out of here.
Fuck, Fowler. Hey. $5 to get your picture taken with it, guys. Check out what I put in his mouth. What's the matter, Swaffy? Swaff doesn't like Ahab. You don't like Ahab? This is war, man. This is war. You can't handle it? What are you, a fag?
You fucking touch me, I will beat your fucking head. I swear to
God. Hey. Get it out of here.
The whole goddamn desert is shitting dead ragheads. Have we done anything? Have we done anything but walk around in the sand? I didn't kill him. He's dead!
Move.
Swofford glares at Fowler, who points at him.
Fuck you.
Fowler backs away.
There's tons of crispy critters around here, man. I'll get as many as I want.
You won't get this one.
Yeah, but I'll get as many as I want, man! Because I don't even fucking want that one! I don't.
Fowler.
Troy points to his own head.
Stay sharp.
Fowler stares at Troy and attempts a smile. Troy nods at him, then walks away. Then, Swofford is dragging the dead body wrapped in the plastic sheeting along the sand. He stops and turns slowly round. A horse appears out of the darkness and walks towards him, lit only by the light from the burning oil wells in the distance. Swofford stands in amazement next to the sleek black horse. He cautiously strokes its nose.
Sorry. You're gonna be alright. Sorry.
Oh. With a look of great concentration, Swofford strokes the animal's neck.
Covered in this fucking oil.
The horse takes a few steps away, then walk slowly off. Then Swofford is digging a large hole in the sand. The corpse is lying at its edge. Sykes heads towards him, holding his flask. Swofford stops digging and looks round. Sykes passes him the flask. Swofford drinks from it.
The Army may pull this type of shit, but the Marines don't. When we get back, Fowler, we'll be passing out shit paper.
Swofford nods and sticks his spade in the sand. He sits down on the edge of the pit. Sykes sits next to him. Swofford looks at his staff sergeant suspiciously. Sykes takes off his helmet. He looks out towards the burning oil wells. He sighs and looks down.
I could be working with my brother right now. He's got a drywall business in Compton. Does it inside of office buildings, you know, the metal studs. I could be his partner. Said he'd give me that brand new Dodge Ram Charger. You know the 318 Magnum, the beast?
Swofford nods.
All indoor work too, lots of AC. I could sleep with my wife every night. Fuck her maybe. Take my kids to school every morning. Not run his crews too, probably increase productivity 40-50%. Make 100K a year. Do you know why I don't?
Swofford tilts his head as if curious. Sykes thinks.
Because I love this job.
Swofford nods very slightly.
I thank God for every fucking day that he gives me in the Corps. Hoorah.
He fixes Swofford with a stare, then looks out towards the burning oil wells.
I mean, who else gets a chance to see shit like this?
Swofford eyeballs him, then slowly looks out to the horizon too. In the distance, three tall columns of fire lighting up the darkness. There's an abandoned car in front of them. Sykes looks back at Swofford.
Know what I'm saying?
Yes, Staff Sergeant.
Do you?
Sykes gives a single nod and looks back at the view in front of him. They remain sitting on the edge of the pit, silhouetted by the fires ahead of them. Later, the men appear to be moving out. Sykes approaches Swofford and Troy.
Hey, listen up. Colonel says he wants my best snipers. God help me, it's you two. We've had buku surrenders, whole fucking units. But the Republican Guard is still out there, and they are most definitely hardcore. So you keep your shit together. You over there?
Yes, Staff Sergeant.
Thank you, Staff Sergeant.
What?
Thank you. Don't thank me, just don't fucking die. Let's go!
He heads towards an army truck, which some of the Marines are already sitting in the back of. Swofford and Troy are sitting in the back of another truck. They high-five.
Fucking ass! Get a kill, you fucking pussies!
With the burning oil wells still spewing out their smoke into the sky behind them, a large number of Marines are on the move. Foot soldiers march across the oil-covered sand. An army truck passes them, in the back of which are Swofford and Troy. Then the two Marines are sitting next to the stationary truck. Swofford has retrieved his rifle from the vehicle and is studying it. Troy is wiping his oil-covered face. Later, they're standing in front of Lieutenant Colonel Kaczynski.
Sykes thinks you boys are good.
Sir.
Well, if it comes from him, it's not bullshit. I got the kind of mission scout snipers that popped their grandmother to get. We got 750 Republican guards dug in around a control tower at Airfield Al-Jabbar. Grid 703-003. A recon reports two high-ranking officers in the tower. All my air is tied up farther north till 1800. So if you could take out those officers, maybe the cannon fodder will white flag it. You could save me having to take the whole battalion. A did a little right up the middle.
Aye, sir.
This is not Rambo time. Before you take a shot, you must get clearance. Understood?
Sir.
Outstanding. Some of my officers think that scout snipers are prima donnas. I think STAY stands for Suntan Association. Are they right?
No, sir.
Then fucking show me.
The two Marines are slowly crawling on their stomachs up a sandbank, carrying their guns. They reach the top of it. On the other side is a long wall. Troy nods in the direction of a small watchtower near to the perimeter wall. They approach the building, which shows signs of bomb damage. Troy is up front, pointing his gun up the steps, which are around the side of the building. Swofford has his back to him, keeping watch. Troy heads up the stone steps. With a look of vigilance, Swofford waits at the bottom, as Troy reaches the top and points his gun at a doorway. Swofford waits at the top of the steps. He rushes into the little room at the top of the watchtower. Then he's staring through the viewfinder of his rifle at the glass-fronted room at the top of the airport's control tower. Troy is looking through binoculars.
Thank you, Jesus.
An Arabic-looking man in combat uniform and a black beret heads into the control tower room. Troy picks up his field phone.
Romeo, Golf Charlie. Romeo, Golf Charlie. This is Lima 2 Sierra. Over. Officers in control tower. Over.
That's what they look like.
Troy looks through his binoculars again.
Range. 900 yards.
Swofford adjusts a knob on the top of his viewfinder.
Windage.
5 to 7, west to east.
He adjusts a knob on the side of the viewfinder. He shuts his eyes.
Romeo, Golf Charlie. Romeo, Golf Charlie. Requesting permission to take the shot. Over.
Swofford flicks a catch at the top of the rifle's butt. With one eye closed, he looks into the viewfinder.
Set.
We have the shot. Over.
Troy listens to the phone receiver. Swofford stares through the viewfinder. Both of them motionless.
Affirmative. Out. Permission to fire.
Swofford looks at Troy, then closes his eyes, then opens one, staring into the viewfinder of the rifle. He's aiming at the head of the Iraqi commander. His finger tightens slowly around the trigger.
Fire. Fire. Fire.
What the fuck frequency are you on?
Oh, fuck.
We got air. I'm calling it in.
You have permission to take the shot.
Tough break. You were just gonna shoot one guy. Watch this. It'll blow your fucking minds.
He sits.
Bad knees. College football.
Requesting permission to take the shot, sir.
Request denied. You never know how many chances you're gonna get to do this.
Wait. Sir, just let us take this one shot right before the air comes in.
Those aren't my orders, Marine. Hitman 45.
Wait, sir. We won't tell anybody. We don't need to tell anybody. What difference does it make? We have a perfect shot. Just let us take it.
Negative.
We have permission from the colonel, sir.
Hitman 45. This is Bravo 4.
God damn it, he's dead anyway. Just let him fucking do it.
You are way out of line, Corporal. Troy.
What difference does it make?
Give him back the answer.
If it doesn't make a give fucking difference, why the fuck do you have to do
because we have the goddamn shots! Yeah. That's why we're here!
Give it a fucking hand!
Fuck it! Stop! Fuck it! Stop! Stop it! That's my kill! That is my kill! That is my kill! You fucking desk jockey! It's a fucking prick! You don't know what we go through! It isn't them! Let go of me! Just fucking let go of me! I'm trying to...
Troy bashes his head against a cabinet. He slumped into a corner, sobbing. Swofford looks round with concern at his African-American superior officer.
You stay, boys. There's some weird motherfuckers.
Panting, Swofford looks down at Troy, who has his head in his hands. The officer turns and picks up the field phone.
Hitman 45, this is Bravo 4, Lima, over.
Two jet fighters are approaching in the distance. From within the watchtower, Swofford is standing in front of the broken window looking out onto the airfield. The planes make a low, swift sortie over the airstrip and leave beneath them a long line of flames and smoke as the control tower explodes. Swofford watches it blankly. He blinks, then turns and walks away from the window. Later, he and Troy are slumped down against the wall. Troy drinks from a flask.
Are we ever gonna get to kill anyone?
Fuck if I know.
When are they gonna kick you out?
2 weeks after we get back. I already have my separation papers.
You got any ideas?
I'll sell some crack. Sling some dope.
Swofford shakes his head.
All you want is in. All I want is out.
Welcome to the suck.
Swofford smiles, staring into space. Then he thinks and looks at his watch. Troy looks at his watch, too.
Where's our pickup? Shit.
Nighttime, the middle of the desert. Lit only by the moonlight and the burning oil wells in the distance, the two Marines trudge over the top of a large sand dune. They continue their lonely march along the billowing dunes. A strong breeze blows sand across the surface of the dunes like seawater pouring over a beach. They drop onto their stomachs.
Fucking scouts, man! Fucking scouts, the battalion!
We don't know that. It could be friendless. You ever hear friendly fire like that?
Fuck.
They're now running.
Jesus, do you hear that? What is that?
Screaming.
Republican cars, man, over this burn. Ready? Are you ready? Hey. Fucking get those motherfuckers! I'll cover you.
Go! Go, 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 go!
They scale a sandbank, at the top of which two marine helmets and gas masks have been stuck onto spades, which are poking out of the sand like ghoulish scarecrows. Swofford and Troy step cautiously up to the top of the bank and look over. A huge outdoor party is underway below them in their camp. The two Marines stare down at it open-mouthed. There's a bonfire in the middle of the sand. Soldiers are dancing around it. Swofford and Troy slowly head down the bank towards their colleagues. Sykes approaches them bare-chested, smoking a cigar.
Oh, shit! Motherfuckers are still out there?
Sorry. Gonna get the memo, dude. Have a little party, you little overdressed.
The shit is over, motherfucker. You didn't die. Have a cigar. It won't kill you.
Party on! Hey, motherfuckers! Did you get a fucking kill? Huh? Did you get a fucking kill, man?
No.
Oh, shit. Well, fuck it. This fucked up rodeo's over. We're going home!
Fowler stands in front of them.
Get your jungle camis, boys. I'm burning all these. We don't need them anymore.
Woo! We killed the dog, man! It's fucking history! Yeah, it's fucking history!
We never have to come back to these shithole ever again!
As their colleagues dance around the fire, Troy and Swofford stare into the flames.
I never shot my rifle.
Troy looks round at him and thinks.
You do it now.
Swofford frowns thoughtfully. Then he very carefully points his rifle into the night sky and fires. Troy points his automatic weapon into the sky and lets it off too. Many of the other soldiers around the bonfire join in the ritual. Sykes, smoking his cigar, coolly fires his machine gun into the sky. Kruger has his mouth open as if he's roaring with delight as he lets his gun off. Fergus, bare-chested, is also shooting into the sky. Troy and Swofford have stopped firing their guns. Swofford takes off his hat, rubs his head, and smiles at Troy. Troy lets his gun drop and turns round, smiling too. He looks at some of the other soldiers who have their arms raised triumphantly.
4 days. 4 hours. 1 minute. That was my war.
Little flecks of light race upwards as the bullets fly into the night sky. Back in the US, a procession of military vehicles drive slowly down a city street lined with people waving flags. Inside an army bus, Swofford is sitting next to Troy. Sykes sits in front of them and looks down at a placard saying, "Welcome home, boys," being held up outside. Kruger sticks his hand out of the open window. Then a disheveled war veteran with dark hair, a wispy beard, and wearing a green army shirt covered in military badges climbs aboard the bus.
Ship and fire, Marines!
Super Fire Marines!
You did it! You did it clean! You made us proud!
Semper Fi. Semper fucking Fi. Welcome home, Marine. Welcome home. Welcome home, son. Welcome home, Seth Sergeant.
He grips Sykes' hand and stares at him intensely. He steps back and seems overwhelmed for a moment.
You mind if I sit down on your bus?
He does so.
Every war is different.
Hoorah.
Every war is the same.
Now in dress uniform, Swofford stands outside a front door opened by a young man. Swofford looks confused. Christina comes to the door with an awkward smile and a shake of the head. Swofford walks away from the house. Fowler's in an empty bar with a young woman in skimpy clothes on his knee. Kruger's in a sharp suit standing at the head of a table of businessmen delivering a sales speech. Cortez is at a fairground with his family. He passes his young son an ice cream. Escobar's in a supermarket, stacking shelves of soft drinks cans. Sykes is back in the Middle East in a combat zone, directing his troops into a bombed-out building. Then Swofford opens his front door.
Yep.
There's a man in a hooded jacket.
Fergus?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, how you doing, man? Nice haircut.
Good, thanks.
Come on in. I got some bad news, man.
Then Swofford and some other young men are in a hall wearing dark suits and ties. Swofford steps into an adjacent room, inside which is an open coffin. Swofford approaches it and looks down. Troy is lying dead in it. He's wearing a grey suit and tie. Swofford stares down at his army companion and weeps quietly. Then he thinks, frowns, and strikes the coffin.
Nectars and boxing gloves.
Fergus, now with long blonde hair and a beard, steps towards him. Later, Swofford is sitting smoking at a desk in a front room. He turns round, approaches a window, and stares out of it.
A story. A man fires a rifle for many years, and he goes to war. And afterwards he comes home, and he sees that whatever else he might do with his life, build a house, love a woman, change his son's diaper, he will always remain a jarhead. And all the jarheads, killing and dying, they will always be me.
He appears to visualize a group of six Marines trudging away from him across the sandy plain and into the distance.
We are still in the desert.
The end.
Boom, 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 boom